Jacob Stringfellow, welcome.
My pleasure.
Hi there. Now, Stringfellow's the name. Was it simply the name?
Well, you mean, was I born with it? Yes.
No, the clubs. We're talking about a man whose name is synonymous with fun and clubbing. Uh-huh. Stringfellow's the name of the club. Was it simply the name?
You mean simply the name that made the success?
Okay, well, listen, I guess we'll come back to that if you're having difficulty. Question two, what about the name Stringfellow? Shares 60% of the letters of the word nightclub. Is that why you named your club Stringfellows?
Okay, no, let me explain that. When I first started in 1960, number one, Stringfellow didn't have any glamour in those days.
Apart from having written Hiawatha.
Yeah. Well, okay.
And the different range of people you attract, a huge range of people, don't you?
I do that deliberately.
Yeah, from Sloan's, you got the Jet Set, rock stars, the Blunties, the Siders, the Riders, and the Hex, they're all there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my door is very wide. If you make the effort and you look good, you can come in. Because basically, we're all of one type, you know. And I find it nothing more boring in a nightclub than when it gets very narrow. I personally wouldn't be comfortable
in a narrow club. Because you're a wide kind of person yourself?
Yeah, I think so, you know.
All right, so say I am a typical 90s person, right? Say I'm a Plunty or a Sider. I come in. Do you say Plunty's over there, Sider's over there, Hex over here, Jet Set over there?
But very, very quickly, everybody knows where to stand in their own patch.
But you see a Plunty come into the club. He's looking a little bit down. Would you actually go up to him?
Yes, I do that.
What would you say to a Plunty who came in?
I just say, hey, nice to have you in. Welcome to the club. Let me get you a drink. Once they're in the club, I'll look after it.
What are those sequin heck hats? That'd be okay.
It depends how he's wearing it, how the rest of it look.
What kind of cuisine do you give him?
Well, in the early days, we used to have, of course, like everywhere else in London, you had your menu in French.
You had your menu in?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like violin players?
Do I like who?
Well, you say you had your menu, and are violin players the sort of people that you actually have in?
Vinnie Jones comes in, and he's a great guy. He's in violin. You just let him sing occasionally.
He's not a violin player, is he? No, but would you have you had your menu in and Stefan Grappelli, say?
Yeah, why not?
Listen, let's talk about Cabaret of Angels.
I'd love to talk about the Cabaret.
Okay, but first, actually, let's not, because it's a little bit cheap to be so eager to plug yourself. Let's talk about your early life. Now, you lived in a one-up, one-down.
Yes, I did.
Now, that's a kind of micro-habitation. Can you imagine anything smaller and yet still possible?
No.
We've been doing some concern features and did actually speak to somebody who lived in a one-up, no-down, which was pretty unfortunate.
Yeah, I think that's a terrible thing. That should be stopped immediately. In fact, there's a lot of things should be knocked down.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, there's one-up, no-downs. You get the horrible effect of the planes flying underneath you.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had a few of those too.
Right. Now, let's go from that kind of micro-habitation right to the Cabaret of Angels. And before we get into that, may I say that it is great that someone actually had the guts to come out and put a ban on the, you know, the fat chicks. Because you get a lot of grief for that, and I can't see why.
It got like this, you see. What it was is that I was saying that there's a percentage of very fat people who, when they go out at night, don't make an effort. They've given up. And I was saying, if you've given up, please don't come to Stringfellows.
If you go to a whole club crowded out with arse women, then it's you wish they'd keep their fat features at home, really.
Well, you see, that's where the hypocrisy came in, you know. Everyone was saying, oh, this is terrible. And I said, okay. What do you think about this wonderful word, which I hate, called politically correct?
Oh, dear.
I refuse to be politically
correct. I say be impolitically incorrect.
Okay, I'll go for that one, too.
Yeah, it's the ugly ones that are the problem, I guess.
You should read some of the mail, what they've called me, man. Wow.
Yeah. Is it because they don't actually fit with the image of the high-profile people, the Plunties, the Siders, all the rest of them in there? Is it because they don't actually fit with those kind of people?
Look, I save a lot of people from having a miserable night by refusing them entrance. In other words, they can come in and feel really out of it.
Out of it in the bad sense. We're not talking MDA. We're talking I'm in the wrong place.
No, feeling down. Yeah. Oh, my God, you know.
You feel right down your leg and you find even your calves are fat.
Yeah. You know what it's like.
What about someone like Madonna? Say she wanted to come and she'd grown a little blubber sack around the coccyx. Would you let her in?
Of course. Are you crazy? Any celebrity and a star is a star. The public doesn't look at a star and think anything except here is a star.
I think Madonna is fantastic.
Isn't she great?
I think she's incredible.
She just, I mean, what she does for women. And she has the sense to shape up. I mean, she goes jogging, she makes her body nice, and she's a real hard body.
And she gives herself over to her business.
Wouldn't it be disgraceful if she allowed herself to go to seed and became like some piece of baobab tree so wide you couldn't get around it?
Isn't it rather sad, and we're talking to all age brackets here, with Brigitte Bardot, who was the absolute sexiest thing on two legs in the 60s.
And now, what a bloater.
Oh, so sad, isn't it? Seriously. If I was it, she should have.
She should have topped herself.
Sure. Well, that's why I don't want to be a lady.
Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. He's the master's story of the world, you know it. He's up as a bubble.
Sure. Now, let's look at the way the new club works. How does it work? You've got a no-touching thing going on, but with money.
OK. People in England just don't understand the concept yet. It's a very sophisticated, heterosexual environment for corporate kind of males who have a sophisticated side of life to them. Beautiful girls taking their clothes off at the table side, not walking around naked or semi-naked.
Right.
Nothing like that. And, of course, it's not for the boys either, with all respect. This is a man's place, you know.
A guy's got a grip on himself.
Absolutely.
A man who knows his place in the world and knows how to handle himself.
I think that's a reasonable description.
The successful male.
Right.
A man who wants everything the way he has it, because, let's face it, he's worked damn hard for it.
Right.
He's the kind of guy you're creating this environment for because of the rejection problem.
Look, every man once he's left his incredible young youth to one side, and even when he was young and beautiful, he was rejected by some girl. Let's say he goes into a bar and he sees a beautiful girl, asks her if she'd like to have a drink, and she says no, that's rejection. He doesn't like that. He's not used to it.
Let's look at a genuine rejectile, and let's look at the downside of this that you're helping to alleviate. If a 44-year-old man is rejected, how old does he feel inside when that happens?
50, 60. He's ready to give up, you know.
It's rather touching in a way to feel that these people are being, in a way, protected from that, which can bring a man down.
Well, it does bring a man down. Now, here is an affluent man who knows his business, and he maybe has a staff of 100 people, and they all listen to everything he has to say.
Certainly the defining thing you seem to be saying about your average client is that they are the sort of person that has a staff.
In the main, that's a pretty good description of my clientele.
And would you say that was a defining feature in a way, that he had a staff and he absolutely knew how to handle it?
Absolutely.
If you came back as an article of clothing in the next life, what would it be?
Oh, that's an easy one. It would be white, it would be slightly frilly, not too big, and it's known as a G-string. Girls.
And
that
who
would still be fine.
Would you like to wear it?
That depends entirely. I mean, I wouldn't be seeing too many faces, would I, down there, so...
You'd be looking out at your clients and giving them a wink and saying, well done, mate, put another fiver in there.
I certainly wouldn't want to be a shoe, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't want to be a shoe. Cotton or nylon or...
Oh, now we get into it. I'd be quite happy to be a little cotton one, because I like cotton. I think
cotton is nice.
But, you
absorbent.
Know, a slight little silky one with a little bit frilly edges, that'd be nice.
Hung up on a bedpost and getting a little bit excited about the next time you're going to be worn.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's what I would do.
So that's what you'd like to be. Seriously, even if you only had a very limited consciousness.
You know, we had a bit of a conversation last night in the club about this. And
yeah, I can imagine.
The guy was saying he'd like to be a woman for a couple of weeks. I said, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And all the guys, with the exception of me, would like to be a girl for a week.
And you said, guys, you can be women, I'd be a G-string.
Well, actually, I kept that one quiet, love, you know, because the one I was wearing at the time was getting a bit tight.
But you wouldn't want to be a G-string on yourself, would you?
No, absolutely
no.
Not.
You want to be right up in the soft, warm recesses of a twat.
You can't actually say that, can you?
Let's be honest about this.
But let's use the right words. Let's use the word vagina, not twat. Yes.
Somebody interviewed Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
Have you ever met the guy?
No, but I rate him highly.
Okay.
One of my heroes.
Well, listen, I've got a clip of that, because this guy knew I was interviewing you, and he asked Stephen Hawking about you. Do you want to hear what he said?
I'd love to, yeah.
Okay, hang on, let me just work. It's got
wait
it on
for
a,
this.
It's got on a little dictaphone. Wait for this. Here we go.
Beecher Stringfellow is a public menace, and in my view... should be excluded from society.
Are you sure that wasn't Doctor Who?
You mean a Dalek or something?
A Dalek.
Yeah.
That...
Well, it's on one of these little dictaphone things.
Yeah. No, Stephen, I know exactly that's how he has to speak, but I don't care. The man is a wonderful intellect.
He's a great... And you know what he said?
I'd love to sit with a few hours and have a chat with that guy.
Because he's glam, isn't he?
Well, he's a wonderful person. You've got to, his sexuality is his mind. That man,
absolutely.
You've got to be
mind.
To be a girl and listen to him talk about the universe
mind shag.
And his theories on the string theory. By the way, there's such a thing as a string theory. You know what? In the
hey, maybe that was his little concession
the
to you.
Bubble theory.
Yeah, bubble theory. Well, you're not called Bubble Fellow. You know,
certainly wouldn't be a top club in London.
Absolutely, Bubble Fellows. I mean, weird. But no, I mean, the guy. Let's face it. Yeah, I suppose what you're saying is his brain is the center.
You've got to look at this. That man is in a situation.